You're bluffing.
What? No way.
On looked forward again, then sighed.
Okay, what's my tell?
Your voice rose,
Alana said proudly.
Plus, well, I have the Force.
Han rolled his eyes.
That blasted Force. It's been getting me in trouble with women ever since I met your grandmother, he said. Anyway, don't worry. I'm 90% sure this is gonna work.
And when you are flying with Captain Solo, those are very good odds indeed,
C-3PO offered from the communications station.
Even adjusting for his usual exaggeration, that gives us a 67% chance of success.
Before Han could turn to bark at the droid, Alana said,
Oh, I'm not worried, Grandpa. As long as we have a backup plan.
Han thought he might have been developing some Force sensitivity himself, because even though he was still looking out at the stars popping into view as they departed the atmosphere, he could feel her staring at him.
We do have a backup plan, Alana said. Right?
He switched to the ion drives, then as the Falcon kicked over to the more powerful engines, pulled the throttles back and said,
Sure we do.
Good.
Alana was silent for a moment, then asked,
What is it?
Han shrugged.
Hard to say. Your grandmother's in charge of backup plans.
Before Alana could press the matter further, the no-nonsense voice of an orbital control officer sounded over the flight deck speaker.
Life Freighter Longshot, you've just broken every procedure in the manual for departing Coruscant. Please proceed to impound station Trill or Ekpapa for inspection.
Oh my, those orders are certainly going to interfere with our duties. Perhaps if I apologize...
Don't even think about it, Kojob.
Han smiled and winked at Alana, then added,
This game is just getting started.
He activated the tactical display and winced, as he always did, at the dense field of yellow fixed facility designators that immediately popped into view. There were so many stations, platforms, and habitats floating around Coruscant's satellite shell that piloting a starship through the orbital layers was only slightly less nerve-wracking than navigating a speeder across the big snarl at the height of crash hour. An instant later, vessel transponder codes began to appear between the facility designators, all in friendly blue, since the Falcon was not involved in armed conflict with anyone. Without a control ship to coordinate and pass along a constant stream of situation reports, R2-D2 could only access the data from the Falcon's own sensor arrays, which made the tactical picture necessarily incomplete. But the display already showed dozens of civilian codes scrambling to clear the area, and Han spotted a new Nargi-class pursuit frigate moving to cut off the Falcon's escape route. A new voice, this one sharper and more insistent, came over the comm speakers.
Light Freighter Longshot, this is the Galactic Alliance Pursuit Frigate Fast Death. Respond immediately or we will take measures to ensure that you do.
Han ignored the challenge and continued to climb. A massive KDY orbital defense platform flashed past to port as the Falcon entered the planet's satellite shell. Han studied the display until he found a huge wheel station orbiting nearby, then swung onto a course that put the facility between him and the Fast Death. The voice returned.
Longshot, your evasive action has been noted. We are now declaring you a suspect vessel in flight. If you continue on this course, we will apprehend you forcibly.
Then stop talking about it and do something,
Han groused. The Fast Death vanished from the displays as the huge wheel station drifted into a direct line between the Falcon and the frigate. Han queried the designator code. To his delight, the station was listed as FarmCom Orbital Processing Plant 1. The pharmaceutical production facilities were usually several kilometers across, more than large enough for his purposes. All he had to do was hide behind the station until the Fast Death came around one side looking for him. Then he'd blow ions out the other. Unfortunately, the Fast Death's skipper had a better idea. As the processing plant began to swell in the Falcon's forward canopy, a huge durasteel web of white rings held together by dozens of glittering yellow spokes. R2-D2 let out a series of contact tweedles. Han turned his attention back to the tactical display. Swarming past the station's rim were a dozen XJ-5 Chase-X starfighters, and they were probably all equipped with the latest in ship-disabling system burner ion torpedoes.
Blast and double blast!
Han growled.
He's not falling for it.
Uh-oh, Alana said. Does that mean I should ask Grandma for the backup plan?
Han shook his head.
Not yet, sweetie. We still have a few tricks up our sleeves.
Han rolled the Falcon into a wing over, and suddenly it was not the wheel station swelling in front of them, but the hazy yellow disk of Coruscant's dayside.
That's trick number one, Han said. Now why don't you pick out a new transponder name for us?
Any name I want?
As long as it's on the list, Han said.
Affirmative, Grandpa.
Alana began to scroll through the possibilities, her little boots kicking in the air in excitement, and she announced,
Got it.
Go ahead and send it to R2,
Han said, swinging toward the gleaming canister of a luxury habitat complex.
And tell him to switch over in 3, 2...
The habitat's apparent size swelled up so quickly that even Han thought he might crash into it. The facility's automated shielding system began to broadcast an emergency message, warning him to decelerate or change course. He did neither. When they were close enough to see startled faces staring out the viewports, he pushed the yoke down and dived underneath the habitat. An instant later, Han pulled back up on the other side of the station and finished the count.
One!
R2-D2 gave an acknowledging tweedle.